We have a budget process that's coming around the corner in about 2 or 3 months. At that time, that can be considered as part of our capital budget to determine whether or not we want to spend those monies. Additionally, we have an item on our policy, on our agenda tonight, to possibly reinstitute the KEDA board, who would be charged with finding projects that would be prioritized and use those monies. I think in spending these monies now, that we're circumventing with that which we have already put in process, and we're going against what we decided we were going to do. Therefore, I submit that we should postpone this item indefinitely in lieu of putting this in our budget process. And I so move.
Heard the motion. Any second to the motion?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on the motion. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Harrington.
We have a unique opportunity with this artwork. This artwork is partially funded already. They need extra. He needs extra money to finish it. It has gone through a vetting process. It was identified as the choice of CAPA, Downtown, Newtown, Thomas Stedman Street people have looked at it. The stakeholders in the downtown community are saying, yes, this is something we want in our community. It becomes a focal point, an economic development possibility. It fits with the real artistic nature of our community. And I don't want to see us lose this opportunity. So obviously, I'm in support of the previous motion and not in support of postponing it.
Other discussion? Mr. Kiefer.
Ditto to a lot of what Mr. Harrington said. Sometimes you have to make a decision that doesn't fit with previous decisions or previous priorities. This is one of those cases. I fully agree that we need to reinstitute the CADA board. I've been talking about it for the last 4 years. And we need to also need to give them something to work with. The last time the CADA board was in was functioning, the borough basically didn't give them any money. And I would certainly look askance at any other any other proposals came down the pipe before we can get the process functioning. But in reality, also having been involved with the CADA board, not on it, but watching the process there, this particular proposal has received as much, if not more, vetting than several of the proposals went before the CADA board, with more public input and a longer process. So I believe this process is a good, this project is a good project. It has received, and I think we should go ahead with it.
Other discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
This is to postpone indefinitely.
This is postpone indefinitely.
Kiefer?
No.
Harrington?
No.
Sarber?
No.
Painter?
No.
Thompson?
Yes.
One yes, four no, Your Honor.
Motion fail.
Question?
Mr. Harrington.
The motion before us pays us half of what is needed for the borough contribution. So if this indeed passes, I think we need to accept the fact that the other half needs to be built into our next year's budget for EdTech. And that's by way of that, a direction to staff to say if this passes, the expectation is that it needs to be in the next year's budget.
Further discussion, Mr. Thompson.
Well, that also begs the question, what about the other 24 or 40 or however many thousands are over and above the 200?
What I understood is our commitment to this project is $100,000. Whatever it's above that, that's, in my mind, between the artist and the city of Ketchikan, because this is their project. One thing I really need to point out, and that is I received a phone call today objecting to this primarily because it wasn't put out in the public process. In my mind, we're partnering with this. There is no part of public process that where we'd have to do an RFP as far as the borough is concerned. You're the assembly, correct me, but that's what I'm thinking, because this project is between the city of Ketchikan and the artisan. We're partnering with that. Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I at the last meeting, I asked that the manager talk to the city and give us a report of how we function in that whole process. Are we merely a funding agency? Is there any way that there's a quid pro quo from the city on contributing these funds to their birth project that they have bonding for? How that all fits together?
Mr. Parkhurst.
Through the mayor, I did have a brief informal conversation with the city manager about the matter. And if the assembly does appropriate the money, it is the intention that the staff would treat it as a grant to the city of Ketchikan. And at this point in time, there's no assurance or indication that there will be any reciprocal compensation or substitutional spending, whatever term you wish to apply to it. So this would have to stand on its own.
Through the mayor, did they give you any indication what would happen should we not grant this funding?
I did not discuss that issue with the city. I think that from the prior discussion that it's my understanding certainly that there's a $200,000 plus cost to the statue and that contributions from the borough on a phased-in process, $50,000 this year and $50,000 next year, is essential to carry it out. That's what we have been presented with, and I didn't test that with the city.
Thank you.
Any further discussion, Mr. Kiefer?
I just wanted to point out to the people in the audience, may have caught this, what we're actually doing tonight is introducing the ordinance, and then we're going to be chewing on this again in March 3rd.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. Roll call vote, please.
Kiefer?
Yes.
Painter?
Yes.
Harrington?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Sarver?
Yes.
5 yes, Your Honor.
Motion carried. Item number 9C, consideration of resolution 2073.
Your Honor, I move to adopt resolution number 2073, amending the Assembly's policy regarding Ravina access in light of recent developments.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion? Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I did have an opportunity to talk to Kyle Johansson about this and ask him specifically whether or not this would help at the state level in terms of clarifying what's going on up there, and he said that it couldn't hurt. So The legalities involved in this whole process between the Federal Highway Administration, the DOT, and ourselves are such that it's a little muddy right now. But he said that what we need to do is be specific on what our intent is, and that he believes that if there's any chance for a bridge or even a bridge project, that this resolution that we're looking at tonight would be of benefit to them at the state level.
Mr. Painter.
I just wanted to commend the manager. Last meeting, through a show of four hands, the manager was directed to come up with a resolution rescinding portions of a previous resolution as to Ravina access, and he did so not in just a simple statement. The history and information provided here is very self-explanatory, anybody that reads it within DOT or within the state is going to understand why we're doing this.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess, in looking at this thing, the key that sticks out in my mind is the statement in here. While the ferry option is the least expensive in terms of initial capital costs, it is by far the most expensive in terms of total annual operation and maintenance costs. The projected costs are 31 to 45 times greater than the operation and maintenance costs of bridge alternatives, and nearly 2.5 times greater than the O&M cost of existing ferry service. Unless the state takes over the ferry between here and Ravine Island, that 31 to 45 times greater operations and maintenance costs falls right here in our laps. And we get saddled with those costs. And that, for us, is something that would not be a very good thing. Thank you.
Actually, that also falls in the lap of the citizens of the community of Ketchikan.
That's exactly what I meant, Your Honor, when I said our lap, not just the rural hitter here at the table, but the entire community. Okay.
Mr. Kiefer.
I agree with everything that's been said up to this point, but in looking over this, I've actually pondered this now for 2 or 3 days, reading it each day, seeing if I can try to figure out really indeed what this, what the result of this is. I mean, part of the problem we've had with this whole process is we've basically been maneuvered by DOT in a variety of directions that were not necessarily in our community's best interest. That said, where we are right now, it's hard to see how this actually is going to either clarify that or improve the situation or take us in the direction we want to go. The DOT has already decided pretty clearly the two-bridge thing is not going to work. Too expensive, not going to happen. That leaves us with some other options for shorter bridges, bridges out here, all of which we already know are somewhat non-starters with the proportion of our community that depends upon the visitor industry. Because virtually every one of those bridges, except for a really high one out here, which apparently is really expensive too, is going to in some way impede traffic. So what we're saying right now is we want to take the ferry, improve ferry system off the, off the plate. I have to believe at this point that that's the only thing that's on the plate. So I'm not sure what this actually really accomplishes. And I'm having a hard time with this one.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Maybe for a little clarification, I guess what I read into this is that this resolution says that this borough assembly does not support the enhanced ferry service for the specific reason that we're going to be saddled with all the costs of running this ferry. If they want to talk about an enhanced ferry system where the state comes in and provides 24/7 access ferry with no or low toll, and they run it, and they have the escalating labor and escalating fuel and maintenance costs on said ferries. Certainly, we would need more to have adequate access 24/7 to Gravina Island and not just the airport. Then that's fine, but that's not what we're hearing at this point in time. We are the ones that actually own and operate the ferry, and we're the ones that would be expected to continue that operation, and that's not acceptable to this community. We can't afford it. And I think that's what we need to say with this resolution is we're not in favor of enhanced ferry service based on the status quo.
Further discussion, Mr. Painter.
I just for the record and for people that don't know and don't understand, in a nutshell, DOT has somewhat painted themselves into a corner with the actions of the former governor and the current project that's underway over there that's going to be completed, I think, this summer or this fall. Any further access improvements need to be tied to that existing contract, or the state may possibly have to return some of the money that's been spent to the federal government. If DOT proceeds as at their own will, at what they kind of usually do or have been doing, it's quite possible that we may end up with and bearing the cost of operation of improved ferry service with possibly a ferry terminal on the other side of Pennock Island.
Mr. Kiefer.
I understand that, and I sympathize with that. Believe me, I don't want to see us incurring any more costs. on a ferry system that we shouldn't have been paying for the last 30 years. I agree. I don't see where this says, where this says essentially, or improve ferry service on the state's dime. That's what I'm saying. If we take, it appears we're taking ferry service out altogether, rather than just saying, well, what we want an option would be improve ferry system and improve ferry service, that the state would actually use some of this money it got from the federal government to create either some sort of a fund for it that would cover some of the cost of it. Because I have to believe at this point in the game, we're not going to see a bridge. You know, we just aren't. And so why aren't we saying, okay, the option should be improved ferry service, which includes XXXX and state funding of the operation of that ferry. Why aren't we asking for that?
Right at this point, the way I understand this resolution is to get us back to taking a serious look at bridges. And with all that's being said in reference, operation of ferry systems is just not good enough for our people within the community of Ketchikan, as they've been promised for 30 years by previous administration, previous leaders, that there will be a bridge constructed. Now, our governor, unfortunately, the things that had transpired as with the publicity that we received over this thing, earmarks were removed. As a result, had those that earmark not been removed, we would not be discussing today. We'd be constructing a bridge, just because the funding would still be in place. The earmarks were removed. We lost $110 million, poof, right off the bat. And then months later, our governor announced on the newspaper, 5 o'clock in the morning, Alaska Standard Time, pulling the bridge. Well, what I believe this is occurring here on this particular document is that the state of Alaska is having to, Department of Transportation is having to do some backpedaling. And that backpedaling is the fact that if you don't connect what's already been constructed, you're going to have to repay $55 million. And the resolution of which we passed back in July, which we were led to do, says that we can have a ferry system operation. This resolution is taking that off the table. And in my mind, when the Department of Transportation would come back down here and say, look, we just cannot build a bridge with the funding, then let's take a look. But right now, let them come to us. Quite honestly, this mayor has been trying to get an audience with the governor to talk about this very issue. And just last week, to no avail. I firmly applaud management for coming up with this, especially the history that's written into this, the history that's gone into this. I just applaud them for doing that, because in my mind would make the decision a lot easier. Mr. Arrington.
Your Honor?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Maggie.
I just wanted to say that it concerns me a little bit what Mr. Victory stated about it would behoove us, more or less, not to rescind our resolution. But I do remember that we intentionally did not put in the ferry service because of this very reason. We knew that the state would pick up on it, and sure enough, they did. They're the ones that gave us this resolution, as it now reads. They've actually dictated it, as I recall, and sent it through our clerk business, the way that it should stand. I'm not afraid of them using the ferry system against us. They've used it against us the whole time I can remember, which has been a very long time. They've threatened to take away services. Now they're saying, oh, we're going to give you this wonderful ferry system. I don't believe them. I agree. I'm going to vote to reinstate the resolution as we had done at our prior to the July meeting. Thank you.
Mr. Harrington.
Well, in Juneau, we had the opportunity over dinner to sit with Commissioner of DOT and Mr. Menzies. And in the back of my mind was the sense that Mr. Kiefer has that the bridge was a dead issue, and I was hoping to find some opportunity during that thing to say, if it is totally a dead issue, let's talk about what you're going to do for Ketchikan in exchange. What came about was Mr. Menzies' comment that, no, the bridge is still on the table. The bridge is still an option. At that point, it tied my hands to say anything regarding this. I mean, it was like, if someone would just say definitively, what are our options? I think this body can say what's best for Ketchikan. But we need the choices. I'm not sure that this resolution does it. But, you know, we have to trust the people we sent to Juneau, which is, they said, we need this resolution. Just like DOT said we needed the other resolution. I mean, we're pawns in this whole process. And my gut tells me, no matter what we do, it's too late. That if DOT needed that the ferry resolution to modify their environmental impact statement, they've already started the legwork on that. What we do is irrelevant. So we've got to follow up and be the pawns that we are, and respond to one side or the other. And since the chairman of the House Transportation Committee says, I need this, who am I to say no?
Closing remarks. Mr. Thompson?
Thank you, Your Honor. I had an opportunity to listen to Congressman Don Young last night at dinner, and he discussed earmarks. And, of course, the biggest earmark of them all and the one that hit the national press was the Bridge to Nowhere. And one of his comments was that he's a congressman for all of Alaska, and he has communities from all over the state come in and bring them their projects that the communities have prioritized and ask for funding for these things. And he said every state does it. The communities go to their representatives and say, we want you to put this in the budget for us, for sewer, for water, for bridges, for fire, for all sorts of infrastructure projects. And that was the purpose of the earmark, so that those funds that are appropriated at the federal level actually get to those projects and aren't chewed up or diverted by bureaucrats in the state governments and in other agencies. That's what the earmarks are all about. Those funds were coming to the state of Alaska regardless. They were Safety Lou 21 funds. They were funds that were allocated to the state of Alaska. What happened was our congressional delegation, after weighing the needs and the desires of all the communities in Alaska over 30 years, said it's time for Ketchikan to have a bridge. And the political pressure in Washington, they pulled the earmarks, and what happened? The funds were diverted. When I hear the DOT officials talk about the bridge is still on the table, well, they want to spend a year and do a supplemental EIS when we already have a record of decisions saying what should be done. That's just another delaying tactic. A year from now, they're going to say, well, gosh, I guess it's going to be enhanced ferry service. Now let's decide what that's going to look like. If that's the case, they need to come down here and tell us it's going to be enhanced ferry service and tell us what they envision that's going to look like, and let's get on with the project. If it's not, then let's just move on to something else. So I think we should pass this resolution and move on.
With that, roll call vote, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Harrington?
Yes.
Sarber?
Yes.
Kiefer? Painter?
Yes.
Five yes, Your Honor.
Motion carried. Item number 9C, consideration of ordinance 1471. Excuse me, 9E.
Your Honor, I move to introduce 1471, caused to be published and set for a public hearing on March 3rd, 2008, in the City Council chambers.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I had a chance to read through this briefly. I guess that one of the things that struck me is that this is currently a non-functional board. And it occurs to me that a lot of what we have trouble seating people on boards and commissions in this town. And a lot of what this the KEDA board was originally designed to do might be better served by delegating this function to our planning commission, adequately staffed by our planning department. And so I'm not going to oppose introducing this tonight, but I would encourage staff to consider that rather than starting another board, perhaps talking to the Planning Commission and see if they would be willing to take on this effort. It seems like it's right up their alley. Thank you.
Other discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Kiefer?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Painter?
Yes.
Harrington?
Yes.
Sarber?
Yes.
5 yes, Your Honor.
Motion carried. Item number 10A, Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to just briefly address the issue of assessment and taxation that has been the subject of considerable discussion in the newspaper, in the community, at the meeting tonight. I want to stress that the Ketchikan Gateway Borough is a political subdivision of the state of Alaska, and as such, the borough is subject to state laws, and those laws do apply to assessment and collection of taxes. Those laws specify that on January 1 of every year, the borough assessing department has to determine the full and true value of property, and that is what the assessment is set at. It's different in other states, and like it or not, it is a law that we have to comply with. The state of Alaska reviews every year the work of the borough assessor for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, as it does for all the other organized boroughs that levy and assess taxes, to ensure that they are complying with that requirement. And if it is not, that there are consequences. It's also distressing that there are so many unfunded state mandates that are imposed on the Ketchikan Gateway Borough that essentially the borough is villainized to a large degree by the state of Alaska. And let me give you a couple of examples. In terms of education funding, the state of Alaska imposes a mandatory 4 mil equivalent on the full and true value of taxable property, which is higher than the actual assessed value of taxable property. For fiscal year 2009, the required local contribution of the borough is going to increase $321,000 and change. We get absolutely no benefit from that increase. That money will not add one book, one notebook, nothing to the school district. It will bring the total required contribution of the borough to the school district in excess of $5 million. Again, there is absolutely no benefit that this community will receive from that $5 million local contribution that is required. What that contribution does is offset or reduce the amount of education funding that the state of Alaska would otherwise pay to this community if it wasn't subject to that required local contribution. This borough government will be required to pay $3 million in major maintenance grants as our local contribution in support of those projects. We're going to be required to pay in excess of $1 million for planning, platting, land use regulation, tax assessment, and collection, which are mandatory state duties imposed on the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. The borough will lose $635,000 in terms of mandatory unfunded exemptions for senior citizens. The list goes on, and it's remarkable. I think all the borough staff is very sensitive to the tax burdens that are placed on citizens, and we try and will continue to try diligently to minimize those burdens. But there is so much that is outside the control of the borough government, and it appears as if it is the assembly and the borough that are levying these onerous taxes, when in fact, as the case with the education funding that is required, again, there's two distinct levies of taxes for supportive education. One is a required contribution, $5 million. We get no benefit from it. That all goes to the state of Alaska. The other $3.5 million or so is of benefit to the school district. And so I know the assembly is aware of these things, but I think it's important for the public to be aware of them as well. And the burdens are truly significant. Beyond that, I wanted to just touch quickly on the manager's report in terms of on page 7 to point out that there's a lot of volatility in the statistical comparisons between 2007 and 2008 for the Parks and Recreation Department, and that volatility is not really reflective in those statistics, but it's a result of some changes in the way the Parks and Recreation Department is tracking and accounting activities. So really, this is a comparison of apples and oranges in terms of those activities. And then I would also point out for the Assembly's consideration that efforts are underway consistent with the Assembly's implied direction with respect to attempts to negotiate with the Mental Health Land Trust Office with respect to the South Point Higgins Beach and Coast Guard Beach, and there's a set of milestones there. No action is required at this point from the Assembly, but just to keep you apprised of how those negotiations are proceeding. I don't have any particular issues for which I'm asking the Assembly to give me direction this evening, but if you have questions with respect to the report, I'll be glad to try to address those.
Questions of your manager. Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to touch briefly on the issue of the property taxes. When we were in our planning session, what we had talked about was attempting to keep our property tax revenues on a level basis year to year. And in the face of an increasing assessment, I think, of almost 10% across the board this year, I would anticipate that staff will be bringing us a budget that will indicate, at least initially, a reduction in the mill rate to offset that increase, plus or minus maybe some inflation. But is that your understanding?
I certainly understand the intent of the Assembly as well as the intent of the staff to keep taxes as low as we can possibly go. In terms of the overall increase in assessed values at this point, we're only talking about preliminary figures. As the Assembly is well aware, 8.2% increase in existing property, the additional 1.4% increase to bring it up to a total of 9.6% relates to new construction, new subdivision development, and whatnot. In terms of any impacts in terms of the mill levy, we will present to the Assembly all of the fiscal impacts that have changed from the existing fiscal year. For example, there will be a $321,000 and some odd dollars change in terms of our required obligation. How the Assembly wishes to deal with that, if we want to cut back on education funding, the discretionary part of that, in order to keep the property taxes low, we will certainly present all of that information to the Assembly and provide you as much information we can to ensure that you're making fully informed decisions.
Thank you.
Mr. Painter.
Question to the manager. If you could maybe elaborate a little bit. This assessment market trend, is this a local trend or is this a statewide trend?
Historically, Ketchikan has lagged substantially behind other areas of the state. There are some that certainly have been escalating far beyond what has occurred here in Ketchikan, but all local governments that levy property taxes are subject to the same laws, and that those property taxes must be levied against property which is assessed at 100% of the fair market value. I would be glad to provide, and it's not really a burden, to provide the Assembly with historical information about Ketchikan versus other organized boroughs in the state. I would also provide information about where the borough's tax structure lies in comparison to other organized boroughs. I can tell you that there are 17 organized boroughs in Alaska, 13 of them levy property taxes. And it is my belief that Ketchikan, in terms, if you look only at the area-wide levy, is the second lowest in terms of the property tax burden.
Actually, what I'm trying to get at is last year's approximate 15% across the board increase, and this year's approximate 10% across the board increase. is that driven by anything outside this community, meaning activities in, you know, sales of property in the Anchorage area, Juneau, or any place
no,
else besides?
It is driven strictly by what okay. the value of property is in the Ketchikan Gateway Borough.
Okay.
So if a house in Anchorage escalated by 25%, that has no impact right. on Ketchikan. Okay.
Other questions of your manager? Yes.
On the report, right?
Yes.
I don't have a question, but and I apologize I didn't get to you. I did my own little research. As I questioned Public Works Director last time about the HDPE pipe fusion machine that the borough used to own and so on and so forth. Back in September of 2005, it was unanimous. We decided to declare that surplus and dispose through sale or trade-in. I just wanted to point out that the Public Works Director's memorandum, August 30th, in regards to that, led me to believe that he was going to trade it into manufacturer of the equipment, McElroy, for 70% of the original purchase price of the machine for $14,580. When in fact, our current Public Works Director stated at the podium that another person here bought it for half that. I thought that was strange. Done now.
Other questions of your manager? Mr. Harrington.
Not a question, but a comment regarding the North Tongass Fire Department open house and dedication. The crowd was substantial, even though it was a nasty night. And it was a very nice.
Thank you.
Wish more of us could have been there, but it was very well done, and any of you that have not seen the plaque should take the opportunity to see it. And the plan is to actually create a rock concrete monument outside of the building on the driveway up to mount it outside in a very nice setting. So hopefully we'll have that up next summer, and I'll encourage all of you to come out and see that.
Thank you. Other questions to your manager? Hearing none, moving on to the mayor's report. I, as your mayor, had participated in a dinner of which was put on at the Methodist Church in discussion of homeless folks in the community of Ketchikan. What was stated at this meeting was all the resource that was available to the folks that are homeless. And quite honestly, there's a lot that's available in this community for them. I, off on another note, was very sad that I had missed the dedication to Jim Elkins, and a lot of it was because of the activity of that particular evening as far as the amount of snow is concerned. But participated in the annual fly-in this year. I just want this assembly to know and the public to know that our man Ray Matuszewski did an outstanding job in getting us before folks and getting us into meetings of the right people in my mind, and then also we had a dinner which was well attended by folks who represented the community of Ketchikan as well as folks who were looking for some assistance in capturing some of the things that we wish to capture for our community. One of the things that I requested of Ray Matuszewski was to set a meeting with the governor for both Mayor Bob Weinstein and myself. On the day of the reception, which looked pretty possible that it was going to occur, according to Ray, when he received a call from the governor, and then it only turned out that we were informed that she would be attending our reception. Our reception that evening, please understand, was well attended. A lot of positive remarks about that, and one thing about the reception, and that is we had the governor at our reception, and she generally doesn't attend a lot. I think that the governor attended the reception primarily to discuss with me what I stated publicly about the inability to meet with her as far as the mayor is concerned. With that, we truly did have a few words. There's no question about that. And very positively, I just want it to be known that no other reception had ever had the governor of Alaska attend, and we did, even though the reason the governor came was not as positive as I thought it would be. And I had participated last Saturday in a public rally to in recognition of Elizabeth Pradovich, and took great pride and joy in doing that. It was a lot of fun. A lot of folks were very positive in the reception of that, and what we did was just hold up signs of Elizabeth Pradovich and so on. I was middle of January, was invited to the Filipino Community Club Sweetheart Ball, which was held last Saturday, and they also had installation of officers, of which I participated in. I just had so much fun that evening. I was very impressed with the numbers of folks that attended of the Filipino Community Club that attended. There must have been 100, 150 people there comfortably. And if you ever have an opportunity, I would really encourage you to participate. The amount of food, I promise you, you could not eat all of it in one night. But and you wish you could, because there was so much of it, but it was just great. We had an opportunity to meet with a representative, Congressman Don Young, yesterday morning from 10 to 11. We did that at Head Start, and then once again met with Congressman Young yesterday afternoon to make known our needs federally. And I do want to compliment our manager here, who had put it in order, and everything was just all typed out real neat and concise. And so it was no wondering, did I talk about everything? It was all right in front of us, and I appreciate that. One of the things I do want to point out is, and that is, especially the last couple of weeks, which had to have been difficult for our transit bus system. I'm certain driving in the roads when there's a lot of snow, number one. Number two, in some places, was not cleared. It seemed to me that our bus system did a good job in transporting people, and I, for one, really appreciate that. I had at the beginning of this year invited all staff members and assembly members to my house for dinner. That invitation still stands, and please understand, it's not one particular evening that we're going to do this. My intent of this was to have this continue until I've exhausted everyone that is a assembly member or a staff member. And the whole intent of that is my way of saying thank you very much for your efforts here at this table to the assembly members and this includes your wives and children, et cetera, and to also to the borough staff. And this includes their spouses and children, et cetera. And I'll be making those calls, or my wife and I will be making those calls, setting up the times. And again, the intent of that is just my way of saying thank you very much for the work. A lot of times people never say thank you enough, and that's just one way of doing that. So with that, we have committee reports. Art, do you have any questions of your mayor? Hearing none, committee reports. Okay, Assemblyman comments. We'll start off with Ms. Sarber.
It's been another quick meeting, a very intense meeting. That's about all I have to say. I did read the letter from the to the Department of Transportation on the plan. It was very well put. You managed to put in a lot of issues that are at the front of our minds there, and I just wanted to congratulate you, the mayor, and the manager on a fine letter, a fine response. Thank you, and to all a good night.
Thank you very much. Mr. Arrington?
We have written two letters of support for community connections. Is it necessary to make this an action item, or can we forehand direct the manager to give that letter of support?
Forehands is sufficient. Do you see the forehands? Directed. Mr. Painter.
Just to be prepared. We have to put our other hats on. In addition to the property tax assessments, it's quite possible the borough's contribution to funding the library may go up, which we can pretty well bet on. I am concerned with the correspondence that I've read in what I perceive coming from Malcolm Menzies' confusion or reluctance to deal with the local government here as to our desires as to the Gravina Highway / Gravina Road. In what I mean there is and I thought it was quite clear that we would like to divert some of the funding from the current project over there to improve the road from the, I guess it's the Y to the end of the, where it goes into the Seeley Sawmill. I'd like to see him get straightened out there, if at all possible.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Kiefer.
I want to second the mayor's appreciation of the food at the Filipino community gatherings. They're always great fun. Though I would warn you, guests are occasionally asked to take part in the tinkling dance the booth holes. I guess they didn't do that to you.
No, they didn't. Praise God, they
didn't. They did that to me a few years ago. That was a very exciting and painful experience. But the food was wonderful. Taxes, yeah, we've all, I'm sure, been hearing the folks who were concerned about last year's increase and this year's increase. And I guess just in all likelihood, I will probably, if not screamingly support, I will probably be closer to Mr. What's your name? Thomas Harrington. Mr. Thompson's direction than I have been in previous years. That said, the point Mr. Brockers brought up is a very good one. Everyone who comes to this podium will say, well, I'm going to move elsewhere. And the reality is you're living in a community that has some of the lowest overall tax burden in the state that has the lowest overall tax burden. There aren't a whole lot of other places you're actually going to move that have less of a tax burden than you. That said, I think that just automatically assuming we're going to be increasing our tax burden 10% every year until we catch up to some mythical thing is probably not realistic. Probably have to look at some sort of adjustment this year. But what that will be, I don't know. And, This afternoon, I was pleasure attending one of the downtown steering committee meetings. And what's really neat, if you've never been to those, is they actually draw from a very broad section of the community. But today was interesting because the issue of negotiating the Mental Health Lands Trust over the Deer Mountain situation came up, and there was all this discussion. We need to sit down and talk with those folks. And I want you to know, I sat on my hands. I didn't say a word. But it was remarkably hard not to start laughing hysterically, because once again, you have that sense of, oh, if we just talk to them, they'll see our point, and they'll work with us. It's like, well, I'm still waiting. One of these years, they may work with us. I don't know.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, we may be the lowest in the state, the lowest in the nation, but that doesn't mean we can't keep getting lower. So. I'm going to bring up, I'm kind of a pariah on this assembly, but I'll keep bringing it up. But RKG, I believe I saw it published in the newspaper that they're in default. Do I assume that starts the clock on foreclosure? I guess it might. I do have, there's a large group of constituents out there that communicates with me regularly about RKG and their concern. And I've shared some of those concerns with management. Mr. Houts is aware of it. But I did also go by there today, and I noticed that the hog fuel pile that I was concerned about several months ago has gotten enormous. And I sent a copy of the correspondence to the clerk, and hopefully she'll share that with you, and there's pictures attached that I'm concerned that I don't see, and all we're getting is a production report. And granted, the last one said production's off the charts. That's great. But I don't see the financials. I don't see the wherewithal that this guy's going to actually come through and pay us our $9.8 million now or something like that in 2 months. And if he leaves there, are we going to have another big mess to clean up? So I want you guys to take a look at those pictures because they, pictures tell a story. And I'm still concerned, and has the clock in fact started on foreclosure out there, or does it start on the 8th of May, or what's the plan?
Well, my sense is that there is an implied position on the part of the Assembly to postpone any foreclosure until the 5th of May. Don't believe that that was a formal.
So we won't start any proceedings until.
Well, the Assembly is, again, I don't believe that the Assembly adopted a formal position on the matter, but I think that there's an implied understanding that the borough will not consider foreclosure of that against that property until the 5th of May.
It has been published in the newspaper?
For the failure to pay taxes, is that.
Yes.
Yes, they have not. I'm sorry, I might be mixing.
Well, I'm not sure what the process completely is, but I'm concerned. Well, this has gone on, in my opinion, way too long. We should be in foreclosure right now.
The issue of taxation will be addressed in the same fashion that it is for any property owner. Separate from that is the issue of the payment for the property.
Okay. Well, I encourage everybody on the Assembly and anyone in the public that's concerned about this to take a look at the correspondence. The other thing I would like to bring up, I'm still looking for a report from management on where we are with White Cliff. I didn't know if you had a chance to take a look at that at all, but I'd like to get an update on that at some point.
Through the mayor, we have a signed agreement with Dawson Construction to purchase the property. They have until mid-August in order to fulfill the terms of that purchase agreement, and if there are provisions in that agreement that don't guarantee that we're going to, consummate a sale, but they're in the process now of evaluating, inspecting the property, and examining their options. But there is a signed purchase agreement for Dawson to purchase that for $500,000.
Do you believe that ultimate consummation of that sale may hinge upon whether or not they get the RFP for the borough offices?
I couldn't speculate. I certainly think that might enhance their interest in that, but there are a number of private parties in the community that have expressed strong interest in the RFP, so that's really not a consideration whether that's going to lead to the sale of the property. We'll come forward to the assembly with what we believe is the best option.
But we haven't heard anything more from Dawson.
Not in that context, no, but the deadline for the RFPs is way off.
Okay, thank you. And finally, Your Honor, I would like to honor the memory of Wes Davidson. Anyone who knew the guy, he was just a champion. So we're going to miss him. Thank you.
With that, we have any reason for any executive session? I don't see anything before us. With that, the chair will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried.